You were saying something about the gift of being vulnerable.
Yeah, that's in our society, we hold certain things of value or virtue, and we frown on other things. We hold as a virtue strength, and we frown upon weakness. We often confuse vulnerability with weakness. We think they're the same thing. They're not. To me, weakness is, it's a form of cowardice in the sense that we're afraid to look at something, or we're afraid to take action, that we have everything at our disposal to do that, to be stronger, but for whatever reason, things are preventing us or hindering us, and we become weak. But that's different than vulnerability. Vulnerability is just the design of life, the design of nature. Okay, when you're in this situation, you're vulnerable. Your body in these places is vulnerable. Trees are really strong, but if you peel away the bark, they die. They're really vulnerable. All of nature is filled with examples of both strength and vulnerability. Not strength and weakness, but strength and vulnerability. And if we can be okay with being vulnerable, things open up. We don't perceive things in the same rigid format that we did before. And we become okay with, I think it balances us out. I think, again, the design of nature, of our bodies, of other animals and so forth, it provides a balance that we know when to use strength and when not to. We know when to help, and we know when that's not the right way. So I think there's a lot of gifts in opening up to being vulnerable, because it's a way to break our pattern and our rigidity of thought.
And it is so the opposite of what we are taught.
It's very much the opposite. We cannot, we cannot accept that which we think is weak. We laugh at it, we condemn it, we make fun of it, we ridicule people. But vulnerability is part of nature, and it's there for a reason. It's not bad, it's not wrong, and it's not a sign of weakness. It is there to enrich our life and open up things.
Yeah, because I think the instinct is to try to hold it together. I was thinking about a friend of mine the other day who had AIDS for 20 years or something, and really physically suffered in so many different ways. And he was a Sufi, and he did his, he was a new Sufi, and he was like, you know, I did my prayers, I did them 5 times a day, and I read this out of the Quran, and I'm not saying any of those things are bad at all, but he was clinging on them so desperately. I know I've done that in my life many times, and I remember we sat together, and he was kind of telling me what he had done, all the different prayers and whatnot he had done in the course of the day, and then I started feeling guilty because I didn't do that. And I remember at one point he just looked at me and he said, I just hate having AIDS, and he just started sobbing. And that was like so much more real and so much more, it was like that just opened the door to grace rather than like, I mean, praying can be just a way of escaping. And I'm not saying prayer is bad either. I'm just saying to watch how you hold it. And it revolves around that whole issue of vulnerability.
Yeah. Vulnerability, if we're really honest with it, I call it swimming downstream. You know, we can pray, and prayer can have amazing effects, healing prayer. But if we aren't honest, if we aren't truthful for what's really going on, and that takes vulnerability, if we aren't truthful, then what I've seen in my work, in the work of others, the healing prayer is not as effective generally. And why would it be? Because we're still running from that which is is our illusions. We're still living in the world of illusion. So we're praying to have more illusion. That just doesn't...
And the whole idea of praying to get something away from us, to run from it. Can you give me a couple of examples of being honest, being in the truth?
Okay.
Because for some people, they might hear that and go, oh, being in the truth is, oh, I know I'm an infinite being connected to everything.
Right.
Well, that might be the deepest truth, but you can't get to that until you're at the upper level, the upper level or lower level truths, whichever way you want to look at it.
Yeah, let me come up with some here. Let me recall some. I was working several years ago with an elderly woman. She had a case of, is it psoriasis or is it eczema, where the skin is really, really dry and cracks form in the skin, and they cut and they're open and it stings and it hurts. Mm-hmm. She had had that for years. She's a nice woman. And I could tell when she walked, because these cuts were covering her feet and her ankles. And she was grimacing with each step. She was walking slow. She was the nicest woman. And so I started working with her. I'd say she, you know, as we classify people as spiritual, non-spiritual, she had a spiritual background. When I looked in there, though, what I saw was how she was conditioned as a young child and how she grew up. She believed... there's a right way and a wrong way, a proper way and an improper way for her, a way that was right or kind and a way that wasn't. And so she lived with this restriction, and she wouldn't let herself out of that. And I saw how that affected the body, and ultimately over time it affected the nervous system, which then affected the muscles and the skin and so forth. And and it was the source of this condition she had. So I asked her, tell me about your childhood. What really happened? Why did you, what happened? And she started telling me how she was raised and how it was very restrictive and how she did not want to step out of bounds. That was the biggest thing, to do things that would make others proud of her or were the right way. And she saw how that affected her relationships, past marriages, how it affected her life. So when she just experienced that again, and felt that, when we were done with the session, I asked her, how's your feet? And she moved them around, and there was no pain. This is the first time in over 10 years there was no pain in her feet. Even though the cuts were still there, when I was looking at her feet, I couldn't physically tell any difference. The cuts were still there. They looked like they were open. It looked like it should be painful to move them, but she said, there's no pain. When we are honest with ourselves, not at some spiritual level, but just basic honesty, the body responds pretty quickly.
So in being honest, it might be something as simple as a judgment you might have against a certain person, a certain emotion you might have that is kind of in your mind, you censor it and, well, I'm not supposed to be feeling that way because that wouldn't be, within the confines of being a good person.
Yeah, it all happens so quickly. Mm. The mind, our judgments. I think the best advice, some of the absolute best advice I received was from a guy named Matthew Ottenberg. His name is now Uttama. He's one of these, what they call oneness beings from the Oneness University. And he was sitting across from me, and he told me in the best possible way, Carrie, you lie to yourself all the time. When somebody who's in that state of consciousness says that, at least I didn't take that as an affront. Something happened, and I started to have this life review where I could see all the little lies I told myself. Oh, I'm not mad at that person. Oh, yeah, I'm really, that does piss me off. And, oh, I'm, I don't think that way. Well, yeah, you really do, you know, or at least this part of you does. And oh, it's that issue that's keeping you from doing that. Well, no, it's really you're scared of this and you're afraid to face this. And this is the conditioning from your childhood and from your lineage and from your race that contributed to you thinking like this. Oh, I think that that's good and that's wrong. Well, no, it's not really right or wrong. It's just that was your conditioning.
But it's the idea that you're saying to yourself, I shouldn't even think that thought.
Yeah.
I don't really think that.
And it happens so quickly.
And then the grace can't come in because you're saying, no, it's not, no, it's not, no, it's not. Right. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say it doesn't come in, but it doesn't come in full force. Mm-hmm. We're essentially saying we can do it. I can do it. My ego can do it. I'll figure it out. I'll perfect it. And as long as we think that, we aren't being honest with ourselves. So I just saw the lies in this life review, and I'm sure there's many more lies there that I haven't looked at. But it was such a freeing feeling, and he was so right on. Yeah, so that's a recommended thing for anybody, is to see the lies that we make. And most of them, you know, aren't these big, huge lies. You know, I ran somebody over on the freeway, or you know, I kidnapped somebody's kid. They're not. There's these little things, you know, that doesn't bother me when it does. That's how I feel about that person when it's not. This is why I don't do this when really I'm afraid of this. So they're the little lies.